Francisca, a lady that is a wife of a guy that he has become acquainted with. She has a lot of cancer in her body. Now, we've seen this happen several times before, and we've sent these out. Do you mind if I take this? In the book of Acts, chapter 19, you can read about it. They took prayer cloths and aprons, the word says, and from the Apostle Paul that he had on his body. In other words, it was a point of contact. There's no magic in this. This is not a fetish. It's not something that you send and it does a magical. But the passion or compassion of God will follow this as a point of contact. The person receives it. Say, we've prayed over it. When we say we prayed over it, they receive it. A lot of times you've got to initiate the person's faith. And that's what Jesus did. A lot of times he says, do you believe that I can do this? And they say, yes, I believe it. And when they said they believed it, that was an initiation of the dormancy of their faith came to life. So we're sending this to Francisca now in the name of Jesus. And I just agree with you. And I put Jesus, I was reading about you this week. You passed by that fig tree, or rather you came up to it happily as if to receive. You knew that there was no figs, for the time was not yet. But to set the example of the power that is in the Word of God and in the words of our mouth, you cursed it. And presently, the Bible says, it withered away. And the disciples were amazed. We have power in our words. Father, this mouth has praised you all day long. This mouth has not cursed you, nor has it cursed my brother. For Father, I thank you that you've sanctified it to speak good things. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same mouth that has declared your glory today and praised you and spoke good things concerning my brothers, Father, once again, I use this mouth. I use the power that is in this mouth, and I use the power that is in my spirit through the power of the Holy Ghost and the written word. And I curse cancer. In the name of Jesus, we are not afraid, we are not timid, nor do we beg, nor plead, nor ask as if to say, God, will you do this? You have already declared through Jesus Christ what your exact will is. All guesswork is out. This is your will. And in the name of Jesus, I declare this woman whole. I curse you, cancer, and the very demonic spirit that brought it and levied it. The very enzymes of cancer running rogue inside of her body and destroying the healthy cells. Now we reverse you in Jesus' name. And we pull out that spirit. We curse you as if Jesus said to the fig tree, wither and die. We extract you. And Father, I pray that this woman, though we do not know her whereabouts in the spirit, we pray that in Jesus' name that she come to know you in fullness. If there is any, if there is any need for salvation there, and her husband, in Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We have an explanation, letter that we send with that. If you'd like Candy to get you one, so yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you what you probably already know, that you know that's not a direct spirit, as if there's something demonic there, but no doubt he probably perpetuated it, started it, or caused the accident. But just discerning, I can tell you that you're free from all that. So, hallelujah. Father, I worship you. Lord, it wouldn't be anything, no condemnation to medically change this. And you've worked through that time and time again. And we praise you for medical doctors, for what they do when they do it right. Then again, Father, we do have an access that's greater than all. And we press towards this limit, the limit that the flesh says we can't go any further, we can't believe anymore. For us to press the envelope to go to a place where the flesh says this is beyond, Lord, is an easy thing. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I pronounce my brother whole, delivered out of this infirmity and brought forth by the grace of God in the name of Jesus. Let the peaceable, relaxing kind of faith that comes in a place where it is seen and done and then moved in what is already accomplished be manifest in his spirit and in his body. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Shoulder. Is that a rotator cuff? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen, Reuben. Come on up here. You got that authority. Come on up here and pray with me to lay hands. I know you're back there praying with me. I can see you praying with me. But hallelujah. I said a few weeks ago, just kidding around, what's that Karate Kid guy? We got more power than he's got. We got a rotator cuff here. Just put your hands over here on this. Just believe you. Yes. Thank you, Father. So in Jesus' name, we release your glory into it right now. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. Powerful. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. The fire of God. The life of your Lord, my Lord, we worship you, Jesus. I glorify you, praise and magnify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. Thank you, Father. This thing is done in your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, glorify you, praise and honor. Hallelujah. Wow, something real strong came there. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can either get you healed or set you up with 15 treatments with Sherry Easterly, one or the other. So healing is much better. And she does it for a living, but she's praying for people as she goes. Hallelujah. Man, she's the kind of therapist I'd like to have. Because when she's got her hands on her, on you, hallelujah. Praise God. Healing power. You got healing power in two ways, don't you? You got the book knowledge and the hand knowledge, and to God be the glory is right. Hallelujah. Well, there was something powerful took place here. Anybody else? Hallelujah. One of the shames in all these empty chairs is not getting enough people to put in front of me to test my faith. It's just like anything else. Faith does come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, but it's relative also to what you're willing to step out and start doing. Do you back up into a corner and back yourself up, back up, back up, get pitiful, whine and cry. After a while, a common cold will just knock you out and you'll just be feeling so sorry for yourself. It'll push you around. Then again, the human spirit baptized in the Holy Spirit had the capacity to go to unlimited places. Well, sure, those first major miracles are going to be something to behold. But the reiteration of them will be a continuation of our spirit gets getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So, when Pablo and I used to get in there and we'd superset, and he'd spot me and then I'd spot him. And when we got to a place where we were absolutely exalted, and he'd come on, Pastor, give me one more. And he'd put his hands underneath the bar. Come on, give me another one. Give me another one. Give me another one. We went out of there feeling quite weak. But then 2 or 3 weeks later, we jumped up stronger. You allow things to come up and stand in front of you, people that with no eyes, no legs. A lot of people, that really intimidates them because they think, oh no, get sick to your stomach thinking about, I'm going to pray for them. Probably nothing's going to happen. Everybody's going to see me praying for somebody and nothing's going to happen. You know what that is to me? Now, they're far more. I'm not demeaning them. Humanity in front of me, anybody, is far more than a guinea pig. But in all reality, it gives me a place to stand and look right in, I mean eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, with the best that Satan has had to offer. And to say, Jesus did this with no fanfare. And he did not take it for granted, but it was just so common to him is that he just, once he'd have those big crusades, the feeding of the 5,000 plus men and plus women and children. So it's estimated that probably at least 20,000. If ever a Jewish family had a big, they were like the Plamondons. They just, you know, of course they were more than that. But thousands and thousands. But they healed them. One place it says they just threw them down at Jesus' feet. Lame, maimed, halt. And for 3 days, he prayed for them. That was a big enough crowd that it took 3 days in one of those revivals. Can you imagine all through the night? Maybe they get in rest and then they get up and here the disciples are working the people, probably bringing them to him. And after all that, all he does is look up and thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We can grow or we can back up. We can get where, oh, what's wrong with you today, honey? Oh, you forgot to plug the coffee pot in. Did the check come in the mail? No. I'm depressed. I'd just soon get run over by a pickup. Oh, come on. Come on. You know, pitifulness breeds pitifulness. Then after a while, you're just so pitiful, you're pitiful about yourself. And then you're like, oh, what's his name on Charlie Brown? You remember he had that cloud that followed him everywhere? Pigpen? Yeah. It was a cloud of just nastiness and dust. And you can create that. You can create that atmosphere. And then you create it in your mind. And then after a while, if you create it long enough, then little busybodies, imps will start flying around in that. Then you say, nobody wants to be around me. Guess why? You're sorry for yourself and you're sorry that nobody else is sorry for you. Hey, we've been born again. We've been born again. Most all of you got 2 legs, 2 arms to lift up and say, thank you, Jesus. And I know if I didn't have an arm or a leg, I know how to start on growing one out. Well, we're going to stand them up here. And that's why he hates what we're doing. Because we say, Jesus, not us, but Jesus has unlimited capacity. Hallelujah. So I'd rather go to a church where they told me what sounds like something so fantastic, like, you know, is that guy for real? Or is he just an idiot? What's wrong with him? Does he really believe that stuff? Well, here's the deal. If I don't believe that, if I don't believe he's capable of doing that, then really, am I saved? Because the same blood that birthed me, made me, gave me eternal life, it's the same blood that Isaiah 53:5 says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. Of what? Common cold? No. He said, the works that I do, the same works I do, you'll do also. And greater works, because I go to the Father. Are we there yet? No. How soon? Not sure. But I do know this. He's taking us somewhere we've never been. Hallelujah. What's that old thing? If you shoot for the stars and shoot for the moon and hit a star, or shoot for the stars and hit the moon, I'd rather go out of here kicking and screaming and talking about miracles and people coming and getting 50% of them or 75% of them, and then sit around and talk about blue despair and agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery. If it was not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And agony on me. I worship you, Jesus. Why don't you lift those hands? Harry's doing a good job. Keep playing. Why don't you turn to Ephesians for a little bit? I think people take bets to whether or not I'll make it. But sometimes we do. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 is where we were at last week. We're just working through it. Thank you, Jesus. That song's in me now. I can't hardly get it out. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, stretch your faith this way and pray for me, and we'll just get into a little bit of the Word. Father, we just love you. I love them. I thank you for your great grace, for your power, and that where we're going, we need all of everything that we're receiving out of your Word and presence. We take nothing for granted. We thank you for the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Now teach us with the infallibility of your Word through the person of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father, and I commit my thoughts, my spirit, everything that I am to you now. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians chapter 4. Are you there? Hallelujah. All right. We started last week leading up to this, and then we got into it, and I'll go back to verse 1. I won't go back into chapter 3, but we'll try to read through chapter 4 here and speak as the Holy Spirit gives us direction. Hallelujah. Some have been studying through, and it's been a big help. They've let me know through the book of Ephesians. But Paul is speaking here, and as I said, we went over a lot of this last week, and he said this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And so we said right there, the very first thing is that when Paul said that you walk worthy of the vocation, that's your call. That's not your occupation, but that's your vocation. Two different words. The word vocation is your call in the Greek. And Paul starts out and he qualifies himself for what he's about to say to you, the church, because he says, I say concerning myself, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, hey, look, I'm Paul, the apostle here. He doesn't say, and when he does identify himself as the apostle, it's not in the pretense like we think a lot of people declaring themselves today with a PhD, or you have to call me doctor or whatever. And I don't mind calling a man doctor or, you know, whoever he wants to be called, as long as he understands that his authority comes from the Holy Spirit and out of the Word of God. And Paul, though, is about to tell us, the body, how important it is for us to walk in a place of humility concerning our call. And he says, concerning myself, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that prison, out of the prison of my love for him, then I'll express to you the grace that I'm walking in. He says this, that you would walk worthy of the call or the vocation wherewith you're called. With this kind of thought, with a lowliness and a meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Hallelujah. The greatest confession that we make around here is that we can actually get along with each other while the Father works revival in us. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Now, he's just talking here about the inner workings of how God is in all of us, but how that we're all supposed to function, whatever your call is, as one entire, complete body. And when he says here that God, our Father, who is above all and through all, is in you all, he's still talking about the same way, or he's still speaking with the same speech that he ended chapter 1 with, verse 23. He says that we are His body, which is His body, the fullness of Him. You and I, the body of Christ, are the fullness of God. Isn't that amazing? Or it says here, which is His body, the fullness of Him, Christ, who filleth all in all. We're His hands and feet in the earth. We're His, if the world is going to see anything, if they're going to see the expression of God's power in the earth, in evangelism, in power, we are the expression of all in all to the earth. And He is all in all to us in the church. Now, continuing here in chapter 4, it says in verse 6, and God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us, everybody say, that means me. Look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Okay. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I like the way, as I said before, Dave says this. The simplicity of this is this. A measure is part of a whole. And if you start trying to take the simplicity out of this and say that He divided a greater measure, what He's saying is He gave you your portion. And that portion was sufficient for the vocation that you're called to. It's not a greater than portion. It's a portion that's equaled out in quality. Every vocation or every call has its own quality. And that measure was given to you as an intercessor, as given to you as a ministry of helps, ministry of governments, or whether you're called into the fivefold. Everybody got, in other words, you can't say, I can't fulfill my call. You can fulfill your call. You got to continue to pray. You got to continue to know Him. You got to continue to walk it out. But no matter what comes against you, and every call has its own fight. It's like while you're in the fight, you kind of feel like you've got the greatest fight of all. But in all reality, if you go to the measure of fulfilling your call, you're going to find that just as vehemently that Satan fights the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle. Listen, if you're called to the ministry of helps and you do that to where you really, really, really at the end of your life are pronounced well done, crown of glory, enter in to the fullness. If you do that, you have gone and have invested your entire life to the measure that in increments, not only will, see, because what God is after, we'll just pick on the ministry of helps for a moment. That's something the world can understand because it's literally God's gift in making money for the kingdom. God's inspirational gift. He gives wisdom. He gives anointing. He gives to that man or woman. The death process for me, I'll put this in my vocation. My vocation is pastor presently. You see me as, and I see myself as. I may have other parts of that fivefold that we will see as time goes on exemplify themselves. But if I come to a place where, along with you, we really do watch miracles take place, I mean, fantastic miracles, I will have had to go to a place, and it's not an unbelievable place. It is a place God put me in a body, and He said, look, I want you to have a family. You can have a life. You can be a human being. There's room for you to make mistakes. There's room for you to be a human. You're not a robot. But on your journey of life, for me to be able to come and give you everything that Christ is in your standing, which is all grace, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to trade off a lot of your weaknesses for my strength. Because in all reality, boy, if he was talking to me, boy, son, he loves me. Bronk, he calls me by name at times, I hear him. If you're going to do this, whatever subtle doubts are in you that need to be traded off from weakness, your weakness to my strength, I'm going to come and do that and gladly do it as a father. But it's going to take time. And it's going to take His grace, but it's also going to take a willful want to. You got to really want to, and you got to be willing to submit. And that's the hardest thing sometimes. Your will just doesn't want to give in. But if you die in increments, and I thank God it comes in increments. And we're finding out it's really taken a whole lifetime. I believe that before we leave, we're going to see this take place. Hallelujah. I really do believe that. But I'll tell you, the life that we live right now, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Just the peace. Just the peace has its own reward. But if he comes, and let's say when he comes and he's able to give me this, what my dying process will be no less than the man or the woman who says, okay, God, I feel your call on my life. I believe that you want me to filter. I can be blessed, but I believe you want me to filter as much money as I can into the kingdom for the days ahead when a lot of people are getting saved and a lot of things that are being done that we can't even see right now that need to be done. That's why we confess on Friday night even the things that we don't know that we're going to need to be doing, because right now our minds are kind of working with 75 people, which you're working with, you know, 7,500 people. There's a whole different mindset, and there's a whole different, you don't lose your vision. But the people that are going to supply that, they're going to have to be dead too. They're going to have to be just as dead. My primary job is a good one. I love it. In Jesus' name, come out. Jesus' name, be healed. Cancer, I command you to come out. Then, you know, 3 days later, they come back with a doctor's report and say, okay, here, look. You'll get to do the same because the Word says they shall all lay hands on the sick. So that's an added bonus. But some of you have that, like, say, for instance, that Ministry of Helps call. You're going to have to die. You may not have, because you're out there doing, obviously your prayer time, your closet time is not going to be, he's not going to expect as many hours, if you're going to say it that like that, and go talking specific, as many hours as he requires of me. But he is going to require of those people a dying process. But here it all goes back to this. Nobody can ever say at the end of their journey, you know what? I couldn't do it. God says, yes, you could. Because my grace was measured out. If God saw, let's say, and the only way I can do this is in calculation. If God saw that it would take 2 hours of your time each day in the Word and in prayer, X 5 days a week, X 52 weeks a year consistently, and then half those days being interrupted, or you know, sick kids, crazy kids, this, that, and the other, people in jail, out of jail, on a drunk, on a, you know, this, that, and the other, and you're, you know, it's just a wacky world, and we're living in it, and things go crazy. They just go crazy at best. I mean, we're not crazy, and the people we're trying to keep sane are not crazy in Jesus' name, but there's a lot of interruptions. But if your goal is that, and God says you're going to need to set your compass and try everything inside of you from week to week, you're going to have to try to meet that, because I'm saying that kind of effort is what you're going to need to perpetually die to the process, or in the process, to where that I can come and filter character, grace, and faith. Just faith to you. He says that His grace was measured out. Every one of us is given grace to the measure of the gift of Christ. So here's the simplicity of this. And this is what I'm trying to say. Whatever your call is, He's a very personal spirit. His name is the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I honestly, and it's not even right for me to tell you how many hours should I be praying a week, Pastor? I don't know. I do know. Who knows? And if you'll sit down, not at halftime, not in between pizza, but if you'll just sit down in a comfortable time, and many of you have already done this, and say, Holy Spirit, what do you require of me? What is it that you would like, considering this is and he knows it's a wacky world, what is it that you would like for me to set my goal? Is it pray all day as I go, and then two nights a week, I have that afternoon off, and I can spend a couple of hours doing that? He will illuminate you. Just some of you, it's like, just pray all you can all day long. And then on Saturday, I remember. I've got about 3 hours. I could really, you know, I could spend the rest of the day with my family, but I could buckle down and get 3 or 4 good quality hours. When you ask questions, get ready for answers, because He'll start talking to you. But then if you act like you didn't hear, then you're covering up for the flesh. But there's grace. There is so much grace. And it feels like once you do it, once you step into grace, you'll feel like after a while, maybe I'm not doing anything. But no, He says you are. You're accomplishing a lot because you're doing what I said for you to do. He says this. He said, God said, when He ascended, when Christ ascended, He puts this into parentheses. What is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same one that ascended far above the heavens, that He might fill all things, and He gave. The reason why He said that, the reason why He's saying He that went up is the one that came down. And the reason why that He went up, the reason why He went up is because He went down. Wait, what? Yes. He's up there because He went down there. Really? Yes. He was qualified. The same one that went up, He first went down. Where down to? Down to hell, led captivity captive, let it out. And what it's saying is, he's sitting there with a scepter in His hand as the Lord of the church. God said, there's only one man worthy. Same one that went down. He's the only one that can tell everybody who they ought to be and what their individual vocation should be. I'm not giving this over to any angels. I'm not even taking this on myself. I'm giving this to the one that went down. He's worthy to come up because He went down and He beat the devil. Since He beat the devil, He won the prize. He's the Lord of the church. He's got the scepter in His hand. He gets to say who's who. Hallelujah. So, whoever you are, thank you, Jesus, for what you've made me, for what you've made Otto, for what you've made Barbara, for what you've made Candy, Sherry, every single one of us, David, Yolanda, Jimmy, every single one of us have got a call. Some of us, We know more than one. We know every single one of us are called to the ministry of praying in tongues. That's the eighth operation. Boy, Sister Barbara loves that one. She's taught a lot of women to love it. A lot of you do. I just pick on her sometimes. But we know that in that eighth operation, when he say that eighth operation, we went there last week. That's 1 Corinthians 12:28. It's a corresponding scripture with this one. It's the last one listed. It starts out on a stair step like this. The apostle is up here. He said, first, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He goes down the ladder, helps in government. See, he talks about the last one in 1 Corinthians 12:28 is the multiplicity, or it says diversity of tongues. Diversities, meaning plural, meaning there's more than just one kind of tongue. And if you investigate Scripture, you find out there's the tongue of 1 Corinthians 14, which is the edification tongue, which I can pray anytime I want to, anytime, any place. Not if, when the waiter's trying to serve me, I'm not sitting there going, shkoro barebedebede. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Even here in church, sometimes I'll be praying out loud, but I don't get it too loud so that I distract people around me. I get it to a volume where I know it's comfortable, and I stay in that. Now, when I stand up here and I start speaking in tongues where you guys go, oh, he's really louder than everybody else, that's a sign to say, okay, he's going to follow this up with letting us know what he's saying. Do you know what you're saying? Nope. I have to wait for it too. I have to wait. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, God, you know, every service, it's faith. It's faith. It's like, okay, if I get to the end of this one, you don't say it. I'm standing up here with egg on my face. But he never does he do that. But that's one of the tongues. The tongue for edification is a tongue where you pray anytime you want to. There's one of the tongues is like the tongue for interpretation, like I just talked about, which that is the one that I do here mostly is it's not so much interpretation as it is a preface. It kind of signals me to a prophetic word that I'm about to speak. Although I know that part of that tongue is speaking what I'm about to say to you. Anyway, there are a number of different tongues. There's the tongue where you speak. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where it is assigned to the unbeliever. Assigned to the unbeliever, he said, prophecy serves for the believer. In other words, if I speak a word of prophecy in your native language, and you understand what I say, and it edifies you, and say, wow, I'm going to come through this thing. You got edified. Unbelievers being edified by me speaking something they can't understand normally would not work. But it does work when a person who is speaking Creole sits back in the back and I'm speaking in tongues and sometimes I think I'm just edifying myself, excuse me, and they come up afterwards and say, you know what? You preach for like 10 minutes. That's in the Word. That's in the Word. Where you speak, you think you're just praising God, but you're speaking something that somebody else understands and in a language that you don't understand, and you say, they say, you know, how long were you down in Haiti? I don't know. I've never been there. And they're like, what? And then they go around, they say, you know, he knows Creole, right? No. It's a sign. It's a sign. But the beautiful part about all of those is this. The diversity of tongues, it is the kindling. It is listed last. Here's the prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, all those. Those guys get a mouth. And you think, wow, they're most important. Listen, the kindling at the bottom, you know what? Me and my granddad, we camped for years. We deer hunted, we hog hunted, we went all over the United States. I've been all over the place. I've been in, you know, all over the place, all kind of states, hunting, camping out under the stars in different places. And he taught me how to build a fire. You don't take big old logs, put them up there, and then take a match and throw it down there. That only happens in the movies. Unless you got some lighter fluid or gas that you got to watch out for. That's the quick way to do it. But the country boy way to do it is you start out with your pocket knife and you just get a few shavings. That's the kindling. It's just small, just real small. And you got to build a little tiny, you got to get those little tiny fire starters. And they got those little spurs on them. They're coming down like this. And you hold it and you get one of those lit, just one of those lit, and you lay it down real soft, and then you just lay another one real soft on there and another one real soft on there. And once you get four or five of them, then you can take another piece of lumber or log that's bigger than that, gently lay it on. You know, in 15 minutes, you got a raging fire. You know, we used to back up to them like this when it was cold, you know, and warm the seat of our pants. And then it's bad, somebody comes up and grabs your britches leg like this, and woo, it's fire. But you know, that fire didn't start with big logs. That fire started with something small. That's why praying in other tongues, it starts not just the revival, it is the catalyst whereby the Holy Spirit indoctrinates you and directs you and says, this is who you are. This is your vocation. This is your consecration to me. This is what I want you to do. It directs you in every area. This is who you are. Okay, Holy Spirit, this is who I am. What is it going to take for me to become what I am? Because what you say I am, I don't look like it today. Or it's not fulfilling this great ministry. I mean, you say, you want us to give like millions into the kingdom? Okay, can I just ask you, like, how are we going to pay our Sears bill next month? You know, how are we going to pay our water bill? You know, how are we going to pay? Boy, wasn't Marty's testimony great Sunday? Where is Marty? He left. It was great. It's just great. That's part of his call. And it's so good to see an entrepreneur that is successful and is continuing and will continue to be with his wife successful, but have seen the times where, my God, they were believing for the kindling. Now I'm talking about you, Marty. They were believing for the kindling as much as, but you know, the spiritual kindling is you're praying in tongues. You're praying in tongues because it tells you this is what you are. And then against all doubt, Jude 20, it builds you up on your most holy faith when something is staring you in the face and making fun of you. Making fun of you. Making fun of you, right, Reuben? Making fun of you. You are a blooming idiot for telling anybody that you were called. Sometimes he tries to make fun of these. You know what these are? These are invisible people. We're saying we got thousands and thousands. And every time we say we got thousands and thousands, we can just reach out there and they're just space. Hallelujah. God loves it though. God just loves it. He just loves it that somebody will stand up and cannot, because faith is that. You cannot see it, but you're hoping for it. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. I hope we're helping you. But he says here, for the work of the ministry. Now, you can mark this down. You also could look at this and say this. When he ascended, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And he gave some work of ministry and some edifying of the body of Christ. Because the work of the ministry there is the ministry of helps and governments. And the edifying of the body of Christ is the ministry or the gift of praying in other tongues. That's what builds up the body of Christ. That's what builds us up. That's what causes us to go from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, because I want to go to this measure. He's talking about a stature. In other words, somebody says, you can't grow after you're an adult. Yeah, you can, spiritually speaking. You can get bigger and bigger. Get taller and taller, spiritually speaking. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. What makes people children? What makes churches children? Carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting for somebody that they can pounce on. Whether it's a big group. I don't listen a lot to Andrew Womack, but I would. I like him anytime I've ever listened to him. But I just, you know, honestly, I'll tell you this. And I don't want to detour anybody from being ministered to by Gary, Dave, upstart Bronk Flint on, you know, any of the. But listen, have you found out that the more that you do it, the message, you really don't have time, a whole lot of time, to spend hours listening to somebody to tell you how to do it. There was a time in my life I was going through college, spiritually speaking. I was just devouring everything that Dave had. And I went through that. I mean, just hundreds of. But once you learn it, it's not that you're like, I've arrived. That's not it. But if you start doing it, then you don't have dozens of hours every week to sit and say, I listened to a Gary Carpenter tape. I listened to a Dave Roberson tape. If that's where you're at, go through that. If you haven't done the Born Again Trail, or if you haven't done those things and you really need that part, you know, do it. But there's a part where you get to a place where you're like, because Gary will call me and he goes, Bronk, I know you don't ever hear my stuff, or Dave, and he goes, if I didn't live here and listen and go to Dave's church, I wouldn't have the time to listen, because we're doing it. And a lot of times people are listening a lot. They're spending a lot of hours listening to people on TV. And it's like, I'm up with that. That's okay. But that should not be at the detriment of you doing it yourself. If you've got supplemental hours, if you've spent all the hours that the Holy Spirit has asked you to spend, and now you've got plenty of time, that's between you and God. But there comes a time where you're doing it. Hallelujah. Okay, where was that? I got a little preachy there. The cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Andrew Womack, that's where I was at. He said, and he's so neat, he's so right. He doesn't have a church. He's got a college. But he goes to a big church. And I think it's like 5,000, 6,000, maybe 10,000. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, and this is not verbatim, but this is essence. This is because I've heard it like two or three times told to me. He said, if you'll let me address this church and teach what I want to, I mean, teach the soundness. He goes, I can take this church from 5,000 down to about 1,500 in a week. And he goes, if you'll let me have it for another 2 weeks, I can get it down to a good 500. See, numbers don't really mean much. You know, we got a lady in here that she'll tell you, you know, numbers, and I'm not against any other churches. I'm just telling you the sheer magnitude of numbers doesn't exemplify power or anointing or soundness of doctrine. Listen. And I'm not against this. I don't, you know, we may at some point, if we got enough nights in the revival, do one of these. So you never burn a bridge. But if we right now, and you know it's true, I don't even have to preach this over just about a minute long. If we right now, next month, if we had a slush fund where we could start building up and then get enough of you to take away from your prayer time to have you commit to fixing some kind of dinner on Wednesday night where we fed people instead of having church I guarantee you, I just guarantee you, if we had a and I'm not against that. I'll tell you, if our church is slack on anything, we probably don't have enough fellowship. But if we started a Wednesday night feeding family and then just had, you know, basketball afterwards or something like that, these, we would have to bring in the chairs, would fill up. I'll guarantee you. Guarantee you. It'd fill up. But here's the deal. Once we get revival, maybe we'll have some time to do, you know, allow some. Right now we're fighting tooth and toenail for the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. And if we brought in that mega crowd and we had 200 or 300 on Sunday morning, because, you know, then you'd start, how strong would that church be? What could it get done in the spirit? Can you bring your 5-year-old mongoloid in there at any given time in the future and pray that somehow God will change that baby's brain? Can you believe for cancer to go out? Does demons scare you? Can people speak in tongues in the main auditorium? Can you have altar calls where you say, come forward and let's lay hands on the sick? Boom, they fell out and people went, I'm not going back to that church. Now, I believe in explaining things. The revival that we're... Listen, I'm a fairly intelligent guy. I want the doctors, the lawyers, I want them to be able to come in here. See, this is where our calling's at. It is so defined by the Holy Spirit that we come in here, we know who we are, we're praying it in, we open up our attaché case, and we're receiving from God, and we're just walking around in the Spirit, like, praise God. The doctors, the lawyers, the same bankers come in here and look at what is manifest and say, wait a minute. They did it in order. Yeah, there was some kind of, listen, if you don't believe in demons, you can't believe in God. They, you know, if there's Orientals will say yin and yang, but they're not together with us. There's only the good side for us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But he says here that they lie in wait to deceive. But he says, speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, into all things, which is Christ, even Christ. From whom, not me, not Bronk Flint, but from whom Christ, the whole body, thank you, Jesus, joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Keep praying in tongues. You'll edify yourself. You'll edify me. You'll edify the people around you. You won't be so short-tempered, quick-tempered. Listen, we may blow it a few times between now and revival, but you won't be able to live with that. Before nightfall, you'll get it straightened out. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other. And he's saying this to the church. Not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Their mind is vain. Why? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance, that's talking about the world, the ignorance that is in them. Because the blindness of their hearts. The world doesn't know God because they're blind inside. They're ignorant to the fact that Jesus Christ is life, and life more abundantly. They won't receive him because the God of this world has blinded their minds. They can't see. But he's telling the church, wake up. We've been, you know, the next chapter talks about waking up. There's ammonia tablets they give football players and boxers. I've seen those guys on the sideline. I've seen boxers. They break those tablets open because, man, boom, 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 they get drunk. You know, you run into a big linebacker. You're dizzy. Man, one day I was slacking off, and the coach made me get. I was like a freshman, and this guy was a senior, and he was the biggest guy on the team. And because I was slacking off or something, he made me, you know, go straight on with him. That guy our helmets came together, and I was standing up, and you know those little dots that you see? And you're like, whoa. And this guy's, it was Big Jim. And this guy was a nice, he was a Christian boy, but he did what the coach did. He leveled me, man. He killed me. And I was seeing all those stars. You know, they call them stars. And they're like, well, those football players and boxers and everybody see stars. And their brain isn't thinking right. And they won't talk right. You know, they're over there talking to them. What day is it? What time is it? Who are you? I'm Joe Schmo. Let me throw the ball. You know, you can't throw the ball. They break open those ammonia tablets. And they are strong. And they put them. Oh, golly. And that ammonia goes up in their nostrils. And it clears. It's like, you know, give me. And this is what Paul's saying. Wake up. Drink some coffee. To have a Red Bull, an energy drink in the spirit, do something. You have gone to sleep. You're thinking like the world. You're acting like the world. Wake up. Break open the ammonia tablet. Smell it, because Christ is coming back. Act like who you are. That's what he's saying. He says having, in 19, he says the world, who being in past feeling, that's a real King Jamesy, and it doesn't hardly relate to us, but it says, being past feeling, when I've looked that up, it means past normal kinds of affections. In other words, hard-heartedness, calloused. The world gets calloused. Who got past being calloused or becoming calloused have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's lust, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. I don't quite have that yet. I'll just tell you that. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Isn't this great that Jesus will become? You can hear him. He can teach you individually by the Holy Spirit. That you put off concerning the formal conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, does a mind have a spirit? No, but it does in this sense of the word. You are spirit, soul, and body. But what it's really saying here, and if you look it up in the Greek, the word spirit is also the attitude of or disposition of your thought processes. But how does your thought processes, in other words, if it tells you, let your disposition, if you're a poor, pitiful me, what changes you from being poor, pitiful me, and I can't do it, and we can't change, and my flesh won't let me stop this, and you know, I've been a drunk all my life, even though I'm born again. I got to, you know, you can. You can stop taking those drugs. You can stop, you know, going down the street. You know, you can take that stuff out from hidden places. Internet immorality, you can stop it. It can stop. I can't. Oh, yeah, you can stop it. You can stop it. But you are who you believe you are. And if you believe you're this, you've got to become this. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's saying that you can't think like the world, you can't act like the world, but you've got to believe, you've got to put off the former conversation, put on the new man, and be renewed. See, that man that believes he has to do that, he's not renewed in his mind, in the way he's thinking. The spiritual mind is the renewal of the physical mind. It will convince you. The more time you spend in this, the word, we're almost done. He says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. In verse 15, he says, speak the truth in love. When he says, speak the truth with his neighbor, listen, this we've covered before, but it just bears a quick repetition. If she comes to me, let's say she's another person. Let me pick on a male. If Howard comes to me, I'm going to speak the truth in love. Okay, how do I do that? There are many illnesses, in effect, that are not sin-related or related to your opposition with your brother. I mean, you may have a blatant attack. A blatant attack is when it's there for the word's sake. You know, it's come for the word's sake. Howard made, let's say, for instance, if he had a hitch in his giddy-up, if he had a bad back, you know, and he's got four vertebrae out, if he comes and says, Pastor, I've been praying for 6 months. I don't know what is happening. I mean, it's just getting worse. I've been to the chiropractor. I've been to Sherry. I've been, you know, there to say the operation is the only thing. You know, he may have literally just physically injured it. I mean, Satan may have come and helped that. And he may be just in a fight of his faith. And he just may not need to go to another place. He may need to, and I know Howard, he knows how to speak the word. He may need to learn how to speak the word over his situation continually. And there may be other things involved. But here's speaking the truth in love. If that's what I know, and I know Howard is like where he should be with God, you know, I'm just in agreement with him. And I say, my God, I'm just going to keep praying with you, and we're standing, and whatever it takes. I mean, you know, God's faithful. But if I know him, and I know that we've hung around together, I'm picking on him because he doesn't have this, but if we're hanging around together, and I know he's got a problem, like a sin problem, like he's, especially like he's mad. Let's say if he's mad at Marty. He's not mad at Marty. Let's say he's running down Marty. And everybody in the church knows it. And he's mad. And he just won't, for me to speak anything other and say, you know, Howard, I'm just going to stand in faith with you. But we, you know, Howard and I went out for dinner, you know, or whatever. And invariably, here it comes. Blah, 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 blah. He chews on Marty for 20 minutes. Or says sly things that I know he's got this thing down in his heart. For me to say, I'm going to stand with you in faith and not to go to the root of it is just speaking a lie. Because I know what's going to heal him. I know the root of why he's not getting healed is he's got an offense. And that's why God cannot, listen, Matthew 18, I think we'll teach on that. God says some powerful things. If you can't forgive him, I can't forgive you. You don't think unforgiveness won't stand even when you're standing in the prayer of faith and I'm saying I'm healed and yet you're not getting your healing? It will stand between you and God. Now, a baby, a little tiny baby, sucking their thumb, been saved 2 weeks, they can get a lot of stuff done that we can't because they don't know. But you're a year or two old in Christ and you know you should give that thing up. And then you're like, I'm sick and I don't know why I'm sick, but I hate them. You know what? Let me speak some truth and love to you. You're not going to get healed no matter how much word. Well, I'm going to go fasting. Well, if you fast, what that fast is going to do is going to tell you to forgive them. Because otherwise, if you don't forgive them, eat your cheeseburger and take a pill. Because you're not going to get healed. Oh, my God. Boy, he's really done. Speak the truth. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. I'm going to let Marty teach that later. He knows how to teach that. He taught that to somebody the other day or some time back. And I don't. Did they get it, Marty? They got it. Okay. That comes out of the book of Joshua. Let him that stole, you know, we're skipping over this, trying to get to the end, but I don't know that we'll get to the end. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, when I read the scripture, I think of what Marty said Sunday. You know what this scripture is about? Stealing. It's not stealing like they ripped me off, like they stole, you know, while I wasn't looking. He's talking about people stealing from the church that should have been working, but they set on, I mean, they were not, they could have worked, but they wouldn't work. And they wanted somebody else to support them. He says, when they repent, when they get their head right, let him that's been stealing from the church steal no more, but rather let him repay it, basically, working with his hands, the thing that he ought to. In other words, it's good to work. And a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of you guys have really fought unemployment and all those kind of things. And there's nobody listening to the sound of my voice tonight that's lazy or stealing from the church or anything like that. But this is a truth in God's word that if a man sits and says, you know, let her feed me or let the church feed me. I'm just going to sit and stand in faith. No, I can tell you what faith is. Faith is to work. Faith is to work. And if a person gets to the place where they won't work when they can work, unless they're crippled, And then if they're, you know, some people like having a bad back because they don't have to work. Now, that's a hard truth, but it's nevertheless a truth. You know, when Jesus went, you know, that old story, I'll tell this and this will be through. This guy, you know, this sounds a little cruel. He said that these guys were in a boat fishing, and Jesus walks out on the water. Oh, my God, here he comes. Oh, my God, look, here he's coming across the lake. So these three guys are out there. They're fishing. You've got to be the Lord. You're walking on water. Yes, I am. Can I do anything for you? Can I heal you? Well, yes, sir, Lord. The first guy, he had some kind of problem. He got healed. Second guy, he got healed. I'm shortening this. The last guy, he starts to touch him. He goes, what's wrong with you? He goes, I got a bad back. He goes, okay. He started to touch him. He goes, oh, no. Don't touch me, Lord. I'm on 100% disability. That's cruel, isn't it? It preaches, though. It preaches. He said, let him who steals stole no more. In other words, if you can, you should, and then pay back what you've been mooching. Just what Paul said. Okay. You don't work, you don't eat. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. That's not even necessarily talking about, although I'm not into off jokes, but the grieving the Holy Spirit here, he really identifies by saying this: let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The best way, and what way you do not want to, you don't even want to learn this way, but the way that is the Holy Spirit is most grieved is when we defile one another with our words. You know, when we start clamoring against each other. It grieves him because we're one body. Hallelujah. Don't forget to bless tonight if you come in here to bless, and you may want to consider. We'll put something out for you to do that. Immokalee is saved. Amen. And we have all the monies necessary. We're in revival, Howard says. Amen. Would you just pray with me? I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to bless your evening as you go out of here. Thanks for coming tonight. We love you all. We're going to ask you to just consider anything that the Lord would have you to give tonight. Father, I love you. I thank you for this wonderful group of people that are hungry for you and for your word. Lord, I ask you to just continue to bless them tonight. I thank you that they travel home well. They have a wonderful night of restful peace, and the Holy Ghost just hovers over their bed, and they feel your presence all through the night. I ask you to bless this time of giving. I ask you to speak to our hearts accordingly. And I thank you that Immokalee is in revival. And I bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.